Here is a place where you'll always find teaching and preaching from God's holy word. This is Tony Broom Ministries. This time we're in John chapter 13. The title is, Know Ye What I Have Done to You? One of the most intimate times in the Bible is Christ in the upper room with the disciples. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit. He talked to them about going to heaven. Before all that happened, John chapter 13, he did something that was really unexpected. And it talks about, the scripture says that he loved his own which were in the world, and he loved them until the end. When supper had ended, he rose, took a towel and girded himself, poured water into the basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he went through every one of them, and he washed their feet, and he dried them with the towel wherewith he was girded. In John chapter 13, verse 12, so after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? That's our clause, our text clause. Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. First, we need to take this passage in the context in which it is, without spiritualizing it away. I've heard this preached on, and preachers would say, well, it really means so-and-so, spiritual application. No, it's talking about washing of feet. It's talking about feet washing or foot washing. People say, when you say foot washing, they make fun of it. Well, which foot you're going to wash? You know, right then they're not familiar and they're not comfortable with foot washing, the washing of feet. That's what this passage is talking about, the washing of the saints' feet. Jesus, as the Master, humbles himself as a servant to wash the disciples' feet. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come down here the first time to be served. He came to serve. This is the disciple example. We are to serve. We're not to expect this world and even the church to serve us. We are here to serve. That doesn't mean to be run over. That doesn't mean to be made low-rated, a slave in that sense, but we are here to serve. And it's an honor to serve God. Yeah. It's an honor to serve God's people. It is a thrilling thing. When somebody says, would you pray for me? It's like the guy who went to the dance. I don't advocate going to the dance, but he went to the dance and he was real conscious about it because he had a wooden eye. And he didn't think he'd ever get a date, or certainly wouldn't get a dance. And he went to the dance anyway with his wooden eye, and he saw this girl there that had hair on her lip. And he saw her, and he said to her, would you dance with me? She said, oh, would I, would I? He said, oh, hair lip, hair lip. I could probably have a good sermon if I'd ever be serious. Lord help me. Amen, somebody said. Jesus, the Master, humbles himself as a servant. It's not a bad thing. Somebody says, would you pray for me? It's an honor to pray for God's people. It's an honor to pray for people who are not God's people. Because if you pray for someone who's not God's child, sooner or later they may come to the Lord. Somebody might say, well, I don't pray for you unless you're saved. No, you need to pray whether saved or not. Pray now, find out later. This is an example which we should follow. Not just the washing of feet like in a church service. having an observance as part of a church service. And I believe in that. I believe in foot washing, feet washing. I believe in the service of it. I've been involved in it. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that teaches humility. It shows our humility before God and our obedience to Christ and our service toward each other as believers, and even the extending of the gospel to the lost. It shows our love for God and our love for each other.
Yeah.
But it's more than just a church observance. It's more than just a service. It's an act of life. When he said you should wash one another's feet, he's not just talking about wiping the feet with a towel. He's talking about the attitude of the heart. We should be willing to serve each other. This is what he's talking about. Now we have been faithful to explain the passage in John's Gospel chapter 13, which having to do with in its proper perspective and context of foot washing. And let us broaden the perspective of it to talk about our subject title. Know ye what I have done to you. Jesus took the towel and he took his garments again and he sat down, and no doubt they were looking at each other, and he looked at them and he said, know ye what I have done to you? Do you realize what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord and you say, well. This might surprise some people, because other times people said, good Master, and he said, don't call me good. Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And oh, that we would have the faith and the wisdom to be able to say, yes, but you are God. He says, why do you call me good? But now here he says, you say that I am Lord and Master, and you're saying, well, for so I am. That last word there, for so I am. Ego eimi, for so I am. That's that same word in the Old Testament before Abraham was, I am. Moses, you tell them, I am. When he could say, I am, that's a big thing. If he was false, he could have been stoned to death right there. But he could say, I am, because God the Father is, I am, and God the Son is, I am, and God the Holy Ghost is, I am. Jesus said, you call me Lord and Master, you say right, you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. It's not just talking about taking care of someone when they're sick. Because if you have to take care of someone when they're sick, you've got to wash more than their feet.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they'd rather have their behind washed than their feet. And you really have to be dedicated and committed and loving to someone to take care of them in that way. It's talking more than just washing a physical foot. It's talking about the attitude, the heart of service. We're in a generation now where everybody wants to be served, but no one wants to serve. So it's more than just foot washing. It's an attitude. When he said, do you realize? It's not the only time he said it. He also said, believe ye not, or don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father who dwells in me. He is the one who is doing the work.
Amen.
Know ye what I have done to you? Don't you realize what I have just done to you? We might hear Jesus asking us like this, know ye what I have done to you in salvation? You are born again. When I say to you, brother and sister, that you are born again, that is the greatest thing that I could ever say about anybody on the top side of the earth. That you're born again. If I could get Pentecostal people, and I say I, but if someone could get Pentecostal people as half as excited about their salvation and born again experience with God as speaking in tongues, we'd have it made in the shade. We ought to be excited about sanctification. We ought to be excited about speaking in tongues. We ought to be excited about heading to the rapture. But the main thing, you got to be born again to see the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Know ye not what I have done to you? If you are born again, you have the greatest experience that has ever happened to anyone. The greatest thing on earth is to be born again, to be saved. Know ye what I have done to you. All of us can bear witness that we were as lost as a goose. We were lost in sin and blindness and darkness and all the despair out in the world. We were headed for hell, and he reached down and he saved us, and we're born again. Know ye what I have done to you? I have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I have set you up in heavenly places. I have lifted your feet up like deer's feet. I have brought you to my dining table. Know ye what I have done to you? Salvation, we're saved by the grace of God. I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it, I didn't merit it, but praise God, he saved me. Yes. Know ye what I have done to you? You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In sanctification, the power of sin over your life has been broken. Know ye what I have done to you? Another great thing subsequent to salvation is that he sanctifies you. He breaks the power of sin over your life. Don't you know when that struggle was there? You knew that you loved the Lord, you were born again, but you had struggle, and you struggled with the old man. And then that day, that night, that hour, whenever it was, the old man fell over into the grave and died. And there he is to this day, covered up by the grace of God. Praise God, you've been sanctified by the power of God. Yes. Power of sin has been broken over your life. Yes. You have been sanctified and are being sanctified. Let him continue to sanctify you. Don't stop with just an initial experience. Allow him to keep on sanctifying you. In this depraved and lost world that we're living in, hopelessness and all the pollution and violence that's going on around us, we had better be continually being sanctified. We have to have him to continue to sanctify our mind and our heart and our thoughts, and we have to continue to go back to the hose pipe of grace and let him wash us off, continue to sanctify us by the power of God. The same faith that sanctified you in the beginning will keep on sanctifying you if you'll put your faith and trust in him. Yes. Know ye what I have done to you? This marvelous thing called sanctification that so many people are lacking in their Christian life, and they need. Every believer needs to continue on and let God sanctify them and break the power of sin over their life. They would stop claiming the name of Jesus on Sunday and looking at the porno on Monday. Oh, come on now. They'd stop saying them bad words. They'd stop doing them things that you say you can't help to do. Well, you might not can help it, but he'll give you the power to help it. Yes. He'll sanctify you and break the power of sin over your life, and you won't have that desire to do that anymore. Yes. Lord have mercy, that's good preaching. In the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have been given this power. You have received power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you are witnesses unto Christ. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. You have been given power to successfully live the Christian life. You have been given power to carry out the Great Commission and to rock this world for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Yeah. Know ye what I have done to you? I have saved you. I have sanctified you. I have baptized you in the Holy Ghost. You remember that time when you began to speak in a language you didn't know, and nobody taught you. You didn't go to school. You didn't go in the back room of the church, and they didn't say ha ha and la la and all that. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is get right with God and let him sanctify you, and he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. You'll receive that initial evidence of speaking in tongues, and you'll go on your way prophesying and praising God and living the Christian life. Church won't be a bore. The things of Jesus won't be bore. You won't be like your grandchildren. Boring. That won't be said by a believer. There's no way that you can look at the things that's been going on around here lately and say, boring. But God is on the move.
Yes.
God is up to something.
Yes, He is.
If it's boring, we are the ones that's not right.
That's right.
It ain't that what's going on is not right. We're the ones that's not right. If it's boring, if the things of God, if the Bible, if the church, if the preaching, if the music, if it's boring to us, there's something wrong. There's a dead cat on the line somewhere.
Yes.
We need to get right with God, because to be sanctified and be baptized in the Holy Ghost is the most wonderful thing.
Yes.
It doesn't put you up above anybody else. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. As a matter of fact, it makes you feel more unworthy in that way, more humble. It will humble you.
Yes.
That He would love us so much, that He would consider, and as Nehemiah said, that He would think upon us and look upon us and have mercy on us, that He would have mercy enough to save us and to sanctify us and baptize us in the Holy Ghost. It will humble you down and cause you to praise and worship God.
Yes.
The same power who raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in your mortal body. And we can sing with Chris Tomlin, I have resurrection power living on the inside, living on the inside, Jesus. He has given us freedom. He has given us freedom. We have freedom to worship and praise God.
Yes.
What has He done for you? What has He done to you? He gives us assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my song. I'll keep singing it all the day long. We have that blessed assurance. And we can have assurance. We can know that we have made our calling and election sure. Answered prayer. When He answers your prayer, it thrills your heart. It puts joy in your soul. You can know that your prayers are answered. I'm glad that God answers the preacher's prayer. I'm glad that He answers the bishop's prayer. I'm glad that He answers your prayer, but I'm glad He answers my prayer. I know there are some prayers that I prayed that I know God answered that prayer personally. God answers prayer. When Jesus said, what have I done? Do you not know? Know ye what I have done to you? And I can say, yes, Lord. As unworthy and sometimes as ungrateful as I am, yes, I know what you have done for me. I know that you gave me that assurance. I know that you have given me that assurance. I know that you have answered my prayers. Blessing. There's not a day that goes by that we're not blessed. I told the Lord the other evening, Lord, you're the king, but it looks like to me I am. You just keep feeding me and blessing me and giving me the things that I need and many of the things that I want. You just keep blessing on top of blessing. The gatekeeper said, if he keeps on blessing and blessing, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I say, well, I know what I'm going to do. If he keeps on blessing and blessing, I'm just going to keep on praising and praising.
Amen.
And more blessing and blessing.
Amen.
When the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Yes.
There's glory shining all around. Blessing of God. He blesses us. And the psalm says that. Yes. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation.
Yes.
It's like God has His Holy Ghost sleigh and He just loads you up. The blessings of God. Yes. Comfort. He comforts you in the midnight hour. Glory to God. And His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is called the Comforter. He gives you a personal comforter who can be there with you when your husband has gone, when the kids are not there, when the grandkids are not around, and you might need some comfort when they are around too, but when they're not around, you still have that comforter when the preacher cannot be reached, when everybody's out of town, and if the telephone is disconnected, you still have a connection. You still have a comfort with God. He's there to comfort you. He gives you that deliverance. He is our deliverer. David said, He will deliver me. The New Testament said, He has delivered, He doth deliver, and He will deliver. Whether you're talking about past, present, or future, He is our deliverer.
Yeah.
He is faithful. His faithfulness to us. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. He provides healing for us. We've already heard testimony today of how God will heal us and make us well. God still has the power to heal, and He still is our healer.
Yes.
He is our helper. He helps you. Sometimes you just don't know what you need. You don't know whether you need peace. You don't know whether you need assurance. You don't know whether you need comfort, and He just helps you.
Yes.
Even the old lady said, He hoped me out. He just hopes me out. Whatever you need, He is your helper. He gives you power. Power to do what you could not do in your own strength. He is our strength. He is our fortress. Provision. He provides for us. He has provided for us salvation and healing and the things that we need even before the foundation of the world. Even before any of us were thought about, He provided everything we'd ever need.
Yes.
You can make your own list. It can be as short or as long as you and the Holy Spirit would like. Hear our Lord say to us again, now the humble question from the clad towel and garments rises to the crescendo of a mighty shout of climax to the church of the living God from our great high priest at the right hand of the Father on heaven's throne as he shouts out and says, know ye what I have done to you. And one day he'll call us that golden daybreak. Jesus will come some golden daybreak when setting of sun. He will call us to him. He will come with a mighty shout by the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the air, Lord, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
What a wonderful time that's going to be. When all the saints go marching in, we'll be in that number. Jesus will be there. Our loved ones will be there. In that land where we'll never grow old, never, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache, no more heartbreak. Everything will be wonderful. In that happy land beyond the blue. Streets of gold, the walls of jasper, the gates of pearl. We're looking forward to that wonderful time. We'll be in that wonderful place. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to hear this word from John chapter 13. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of the things that you have done to us. We have no reason to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves, cry and have the blues and feel down. We all get down sometimes, Lord, but we don't have to stay down because so many things you've blessed us with, so many things you've done for us. We love you and praise you today. I pray that many people would be open to the blessing of God, to be saved and sanctified and spirit-filled and healed and delivered and blessed. Get ready to go up when you come down to get us, to go up and take us with you forever. We love you, we praise you, and we bless you. And let all the church say, amen.
Thank you for joining me today for the old-time preaching from God's Word from John chapter 13. The title has been, Know Ye What I Have Done to You? Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord. You will know what He has done in your life. You'll never be the same. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.